following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
Fram knows there are smooth roads, dirt roads, roads less traveled, and roads begging to be driven. Fram knows there are fast drivers, cautious drivers, drivers with a destination,
turn right ahead,
and drivers who are lost. That's why, no matter what you drive, no matter how you drive, no matter what oil you use, there's a Fram oil filter that helps keep your engine healthier longer. Find your Fram oil filter at
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. A big weekend of sports wrapping up. Of course, six state champions crowned at the Bob Devaney Sports Center. The Boys State Basketball Tournament wrapping up. And congratulations to the UNK wrestlers, defending national champions, defending their title. Two straight for Mark Bauer and the boys. Congratulations to the Lopers coming away with the national title. They were scheduled to have a little welcome back to town celebration yesterday. Got snowed in Minneapolis, coming back from Alabama, and I thought I was pretty good at geography, but that one kind of throws me off a little bit. But in any event, they will have that welcome back celebration coming up down the road, and we'll talk with the coaches from there. Mark Bauer doesn't have a voice. I think it might have something to do with a tremendous amount of cheering that he did, helping the Lopers come back with a national championship. And, of course, we have lots of other things to talk about in terms of championship basketball, six state champions. We'll talk with the head basketball coach at Southern Valley after their dramatic overtime win over Sutton, 38-34 in overtime. And we'll talk with Coach Miller coming up a little bit later here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And where is Doug? I mean, Doug, that great soothsayer, that man that can see the future, that man who picked the two finalists in the Super Bowl and can see the future. Oh, yeah, got snowed in. Got snowed in. Yeah. You got snowed in. Yeah. Hey, Doug, good to hear from you.
I'm just saying that the guys in Lincoln are not as good as Kent Boughton and the crew at NTV and the crew at KHAS because what happened? I can't believe how bad it is down here and how there's nothing there.
I was afraid of being snowed in. That's why I drove back after I did the late game on Saturday. I mean, I knew.
Yeah. Okay.
I did. I didn't stay, did I?
I had things going on. I made plans. I looked at the forecast. Supposed to snow overnight around Grand Island. We get up Sunday. We head back. No, my goodness. But I'll tell you what, the interstate right now packed with people that are rolling back. A lot of them from Kearney. Not only was, of course, the high school tournament. I ran into some, of course, here you go. I ran into some people from Sutton that got stuck, and they had the 9 a.m. game Saturday, so I don't feel bad at all for the people that stayed down. But they had the MIT tournament down here, which they always do, which is the little kids tournament all the way from third grade up into junior high and high school. So there were tons of people that were stranded yesterday, and, of course, they were playing basketball in and around Lincoln until almost 6 o'clock last night. Of course, by then, there was no chance, but we were ready to make car move yesterday, and they had shut down the interstate and all the accidents. A lot of reports. In fact, there's probably some folks listening to the show right now. They're cruising down I-80. It sounds like once you get to Grand Island, it's clear sailing, but to get to York, it's still pretty rough. But hopefully everybody gets home safely, and to all those that are back there waiting for folks to get back, some of them are missing school, some of them are teachers, some of them are kids, some of them are just different employees around this city. It really is. It's weird down here. Usually you get these storms, Randy, and it affects most of the state. But this was just a little swath, it looked like, that really, once you get past Aurora, cleaned up pretty well.
Yeah, it's just really kind of a narrow band right along the interstate where it kind of concentrated, and it just shut the interstate off, really, from Lincoln to Grand Island is where they had the big problems. And once you got past that, I mean, I did have to use my wipers a couple of times when I drove back Saturday night. I mean, that was a couple times.
Well, let's talk sports. It was a big weekend and all kinds of things going on. What did you think of the state basketball tournament? I got a lot of questions about. I'll tell you, when we talked to Coach Miller, I've never been asked so much about a certain player as I was Spencer Cutera, because, let's face it, he's one of those kids that not a lot of people got to see before he got to the state tournament. Southern Valley played their schedule, and their conference tournament was even west of Oxford, playing out there in the huge conference in the RPAC, and he really, Friday and Saturday, had big-time tournament games, and no one would have thought at halftime of Thursday's quarterfinal game, where Southern Valley was behind Lutheran High and Northeast, that this would be a state championship team. They had just 11 points, but they turned it around and were pretty impressive and did what they needed to do. And we just saw a really, I thought, Randy, a really cool Saturday for the final Saturday at the Devaney Center. You start off with overtime, double overtime, then you have the crowning of one of the great teams of all time, great runs of all time in Class A with Omaha Central. You go right down to the buzzer in C1 with Wahoo and Boone Central, and then the two games that you finished up with, another great one in Class B. South Sioux City, who was supposed to beat Scotts Bluff last year and didn't. This year, Scotts Bluff was supposed to beat South Sioux City and didn't. And probably the only one that really didn't live up to its billing was the last one, a battle of unbeatens, and Howells Dodge just got off to a big-time run there in the third quarter and put it away.
Yeah, they were very impressive, Howells Dodge. And to me, it's another thing that's kind of interesting about it, Omaha Central, one of the oldest schools in the state. I mean, they where Central is the old territorial capital before Nebraska was even a state, and they're one of the oldest programs. Howells Dodge, first year that they've consolidated, first year that that high school, as it's formulated now in existence. So a newbie wins it, and one of the great programs wins it as well. And those were the two blowouts. Those were the two bad games, and there's still kind of those interesting stories. The other finals were all either overtime or one possession games or both, and I thought the level of basketball was played very, very well. Obviously, Papillion La Vista didn't really show up against Omaha Central. They were just kind of outmanned against them, but Howells Dodge, they were very impressive, and Paxton just couldn't get it going. That defense that Howells Dodge put on them just took a very explosive offensive team, and Paxton just took them completely out of their game. But the games were played at such a very, very high level. The Class C1 game between Newman and Boone Central, that was an outstanding basketball game, and that was probably, outside of the two blowouts, the worst game of the day. I mean, everything else was overtime, one possession, and it was a great day of basketball on Saturday, and the whole tournament was really kind of nice. I kind of mentioned to somebody, I think I saw four buzzer beaters, half-court shots or just inside of half-court shots through the course of the tournament. So everybody did everything they could to stay right in that game, and Cutera, I was really struck with his athleticism. Sure, he's about 8 inches taller than everybody else for Sutton, but really, really good hands, handles the ball very well, moves his feet. He would prove to be a very solid basketball player and just too much for the Mustangs to handle.
The final rankings are out today, and once again I see East Coast bias here. But I have to bring up that some of our area teams maybe didn't get placed as high as I thought they should have. But again, this will come down as bias, Randy. And you know what? I'm going to be biased here. Kearney Catholic's the third best team in C1. Anybody that wants to argue that, I'm ready to bring it on. Gibbon is not ranked in either of the Class C1 final rankings. Stu puts Kimball 10th in Class C1, totally disregarding that. If you watch the Wayne Adams Central game, and Love you, Zach. Love Adams Central. But we all know the truth here. Kearney Catholic split with Adams Central, has a better record, lost to a team in Boone Central that shot 56% for the game, and lost by 3 in the state championship. They have Wahoo, Boone Central, Wayne, Adams Central, Lincoln Christian. Lincoln Christian had 10 points at halftime. They're 17-10. They shouldn't even be in the top 10. All right, I'm going to continue on this rant. Wahoo 1, Boone Central 2, Kearney Catholic 3, Boys Town 4, Adams Central 5, and then you can mix them up after that. You have to keep Adams Central ahead of Gibbon because they took care of them this year, and Gibbon didn't get to get in the rematch. Gibbon and Kimball deserve to be in there as much as some of these other teams. Lincoln Christian, explain to me. Just explain to me. I know they had some close games and had 10 losses, but so did some of these other teams. And I guess what happened, Randy, is the Lou Plant went 0-3 and took it on the chin on Thursday, and so I can see that part of the argument. But some of these teams that you look in here that had really good seasons, it's hard to rank. And at the end, this is not that big a deal, so I'm not going to go crazy on it. But I just want to say that I saw a lot of the teams that played in our area, and I saw Wayne at the state tournament, and I'm sorry. They were better than Wayne.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I got to see Wayne a couple of times, and yeah, I do think that they're better than Wayne. And if Boone Central doesn't shoot lights out, which they did, you know, and tip your hat to them, big stage, they played better than what Kearney Catholic did. If Kearney Catholic and them shoot an equal percentage, Kearney Catholic probably comes from behind and wins that as well. And speaking of winning and kind of coming from behind, they weren't behind in that last day, but the UNK wrestling team defended their national title. They scored 108 and edged St. Cloud State and Notre Dame College of Ohio Saturday in the NCAA Division II Championships down in Birmingham, and they came away with that title. And kind enough to join us to talk about that, kind of help us with the celebration, is Dalton Jensen, the assistant wrestling coach at UNK, because we mentioned it before, Coach Bauer, did he lose his voice? Was he screaming that much, Dalton? Is that what happened to him?
You know, I didn't seem to think he was screaming that much, but I guess just through older age, I guess it's just starting to escape from him a little easier.
Well, it was exciting. Take us back a little bit to Saturday when this was all kind of wrapping up. What did you guys think you had to do Saturday, and when did you know that you did it?
It came pretty clear. I mean, going into finals, it was pretty much just straight down to us, or straight to St. Cloud State. And we had two matchups with them, and we had 4 in the finals. They had 3 in the finals. So we knew for sure we were going to have to win one of those matchups against them, because we were only leading by a point heading into the finals. And so we knew we had to win one of those head-to-head matchups, and those were actually the only two we won in the finals. So we knew we had secured once we won that second matchup with against St. Cloud in the finals.
So it wasn't just so much that you wanted to win two. I mean, obviously you want to win them all, but it mattered a lot in who won which match in terms of you guys coming away, because it was very close.
Yeah, in the finals we had our 33-pounder, who's just a freshman. He won against the St. Cloud kid, who was a returning national finalist. And then our 49-pounder, who's a returning national champ, he won against the St. Cloud kid as well. So that really secured it. We dropped our other two finals matches. At 165, we had Chase Nelson. He dropped a one point decision to undefeated freshman, actually, who from Notre Dame, and I think Notre Dame ended up third. And then our 97 pounder, who's just a freshman as well, dropped a overtime match to a kid from Maryville. So I mean, all of them were tight matches. We could have won all 4, but we walked away with 2, and that was enough to clinch the title.
Dalton, talk about Dan DeShazer here. Here's a kid that started to hear a lot more about as the season went along. Obviously, that's going to happen with a freshman. 33-8, but against D2 competition this year, he was 21-1. Tell us when the light kind of turned on, or was it on from the very first match for him?
You kind of trailed off a little bit there. I'm going to have to have you repeat that.
I was just asking you to talk a little more about Daniel DeShazer, because here's a kid that really turned it on as this season progressed. He was 33-8, but 21-1 against D2 competition.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, like I said, he's only a freshman. He's just a really talented kid, and he only had one Division II loss this year, and it was to the UCO kid. He lost to him in the MIAA championships in the finals. We actually had a matchup with him again in the semifinals at Nationals, and we ended up pinning him in 40 seconds. So he's a really talented kid. He's really athletic. He's strong for the weight class. And, you know, he likes to perform under pressure. He really rises to the occasion, and, you know, we might be looking at, you know, I don't want to jinx him or anything, but this kid's capable of being a four-time national champion. And so, I mean, it's not easy walking in your direction here and winning a national title, but he did it.
We're talking with Dalton Jensen, assistant wrestling coach at the national champion UNK wrestling program. Let's talk about your other national champion, kind of on the other end of the experience scale there, Raphaël Stotts, who comes away with the national title. Where does he kind of rate? What has he meant to your guys' program?
He's meant a lot. He's again another really talented kid. He's he won it last year, and this year it looked like it was going to be a little bit tougher for him to win it. There was a lot of tough guys at that weight. The kid, UCO kid, had beaten him a couple times this year, and for him to walk away with the national title wasn't going to be an easy task this year. He got thrown first round against the stud from Augustana, but he got right through him. And I mean, he's another kid that really just performs under the pressure, and he rises to the occasion. And he peaks at the right time of the year, and you know he's meant a lot to our program. He was a big part of us winning the national championship last year, and he was a big part of it us winning it this year. Like I said, after he won that St. Cloud match, he clinched the title for us. So, and when he walked off the mat, it was a good feeling for him to know that he just clinched his own national championship and the team title as well.
Well, while we're on the subject of Stotts, talk a little bit about the last 30 seconds of his match. He was up 4-3. He built his lead back up, and then it just really kind of came down to those final few moments for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little nerve-wracking sitting on the corner knowing you don't have control, but I have a lot of trust in Raphaël, and the neutral position is his strongest position. So I was really confident that he was either going to get another takedown or he was going to be pretty confident in defending off his shot. So, I felt pretty good going that last 30 seconds, and he secured it and won the title for himself and the team.
That'll put him in some pretty special company as well, guys. Brett Allgood, Ali Elias, Trevelle Delagnev, all two-time national champs with the Lopers. Dalton, I'm interested, since it was down in Alabama, we talked with Mark about it last week. What was the atmosphere like?
I really like the idea of the festival and bringing those three sports together. And the venue was really nice. They treated us really good. The hotels were really nice. Alabama's just not wrestling's starting to grow there, but it's still not as big as it is in the Midwest. So I would like to see it closer to the Midwest, where there'd be stronger fan support and really pack that venue. But I mean, the venue was very nice. And we did have a couple vans full of our guys travel down to go watch us. So we did have some fans there, but it was a little bit different of the experience I had in Birmingham. But hopefully, I think next year it's in Cleveland, so we'll be a little bit closer to the Midwest. Probably get some more fans there.
How have you guys kind of celebrated since then? I mean, you've already had one celebration kind of postponed a little bit. Now you're trying to fight the weather and make your way back. How's it been? Give me kind of a moment or whatever when you guys were kind of able to celebrate your national championship and then kind of work your way back here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still kind of slow, and then we had a little bit of time to enjoy it right after the finals, and then we had to take off right away early in the morning at 5 a.m. and yeah, just to get up to Minneapolis and get stuck there. So, I mean, right now we're driving back to Omaha, and we'll have a police escort when we get in and have a little kind of a pep rally deal at the school when we get back. So I think things will really start to set in, and, these guys are really proud, and we have a lot to be proud of. So I think these guys are already hungry to win another one next year.
Dalton, one more before we let you go here. This team, on its way to a national championship, was so much, at least to me, so much different. The lineup was so much different from week one to the final week. You guys were all the way down to 14th in the country in the rankings. Take us through a moment, or did you guys always have the belief that this could happen at the end, even when you guys have struggled coming out of the national duels?
No, I mean, the national duels really doesn't say where your team is at. That's back in January. We had a couple guys that were banged up. We had a couple other guys that weren't solidified in our lineup yet. And, I mean, there's no reason to that the national duels, I think that should too much to be pressed on it. You don't want to push a guy that's somewhat injured. We want to wait, and because March is really when it matters. That's what we focus on. All the season is just practice until the national championship or the regional tournament. So we get our guys to peak at the right time, and these guys really came together and fought strong. Yeah, we went 1-2 at the national duels, but right now we're driving home right now with a national title and then as far as we're all concerned, that's all that matters. That's what we were gunning for, and that was our goal for the season.
All right, Dalton, appreciate the time. Congratulations, and we'll see you tonight when you guys get that national championship trophy back here to Kearney.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
All right. I appreciate it. That's Dalton Jensen, the assistant coach of the UNK Lopers, the national champions. Mark Bauer, as we mentioned, has a little laryngitis, so not able to join us via the phone, or, well, he could do it with Morse code a little bit. It's kind of funny. Jensen attributes the age of the coach and not his enthusiasm for the reason they lost his voice, but I think that has to be a little bit of a factor there, Doug.
We're not talking age today, right?
That we
banned that talk from the show. But I'll tell you what an accomplishment, Randy. I think UNK was not favored to win the national championship. Now, at the beginning of the year, they were the unanimous number one selection because of the points and everything that was coming back. But they went through an up-and-down year, and it just shows that in a lot of these sports, you just have to be patient. But, again, wrestling is unlike a football, somewhere where you have to go and be strong the whole year long to even have a chance at the end. They were able to do what they needed to do, and they secured it here in the last couple of weeks and took a record 9 kids to the national tournament. And, congratulations, UNK Wrestling, best in the nation again this year.
And again, a very tight race, winning it by 3. Every point was very important, and having that strength in numbers was a key factor for them. And congratulations to them. And if you're stuck because of some snow, well, that means probably you didn't choose wisely when it comes to picking out a vehicle, because Kearney Midway can help you out with that. The Chrysler, Dodge, Jeeps, Rams, they have all sorts of town and countries. They also have 6 Jeep Compasses with $2,500 off, 61 Rams pickup up to $9,000 off. They can get you through just about everything except, of course, probably some ice. That's always going to be somewhat dangerous. If you need some more reasonable cars in terms of just kind of driving around with your car, at Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, they have 2013 Sonics starting under $16,000. They have 11 of them in stock. Chevrolet Cruze is in stock up to $1,900 off. They can get you all set up. They can keep you safe and getting through that snow if you run into that, or just cruising down the highway. They got a great selection of cars. So give them a visit at Midway, the South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, a better way. Check out their selection at thinkmidway.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
The road hates your engine. They are adversaries, enemies, foes. The road will attack your engine with dirt, dust, and grime through your air filter any way it can. Fight back. Reclaim the horsepower the road tries to steal. Every 12,000 miles, it's easy to change to a Fram air filter that keeps dirt, dust, and grime out of your engine. If it's on the road, there's a Fram that fits. Find your Fram air filter at your local automotive store.
Hey, what's happening? I'm Wright Brand Bacon, the bigger, better bacon. When you bite into Wright Brand Bacon, it's like DJ Bacon dropping a beat in a Pac Bacon disco in your mouth. I'm so meaty and delicious, I'm like meat candy.
Sweet.
When you fry me up, I smell so good, it draws a crowd like free money. I'm so tender.
Wright
so
Brand delicious. Bacon. Bigger, better bacon. Find out more at Bigger, Better.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
I'm John, the manager at Burger King, and it's totally nuts in here. Megan, what is going on?
We're celebrating the Whopper Jr. Right now, it's only $1.29.
$1.29 is great. Who authorized the pyrotechnics? And is that a tiger?
We're excited about the Whopper Jr. Have a glow stick, sir.
A what?
Oh, check on the $1.29 interpretive dancers. I gotta go. The blimp is here.
Oh, boy. Come get the fire-grilled Whopper Jr. Right now, just $1.29. Only at Burger King, where taste is king. At participating restaurants, prices higher in Alaska, not valid in Hawaii.
Sunshine develops across the area today with some increasing cloudiness later today towards the afternoon with a high of 40, northwest winds stay at 10 to 15. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 25. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley. Right now it's 28.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you. Bermuda, Bahama, come on pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego.
A little tropical music to kind of get us through our Monday dealing with snow. Randy Bushcutter, Doug Duda via phone coming to you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, we talked a lot about UNK wrestling, but the UNK track team also down in Alabama at that sports festival and tasting some success.
Yeah, this isn't a team championship for them. They took four individuals. You crack the top eight, you become an All-American. And Marissa Bongers, she finished third in the 800, hoping that she would have a chance maybe at a national championship. But she was third, had the third fastest time coming in, and went 210.1 and finished third to bring that home. And then also Dylan Short finished in the seventh spot in his competition. So seventh for him, for Short. And he also plays, of course, for the Loper football team, so he gets to come back and work in spring ball.
Yeah, that'll keep him busy. Yeah, that's a good multi-sport athlete there.
Heptathlon. That's a lot of events.
That is a lot of stuff. You have to have some athletic skill to do all that stuff. Not that, you know, just being a sprinter isn't athletic, but you got to be multifaceted for
Tanner,
that.
Tanner Fruit was 13th in the 5,000 meters. Mark Steba did not qualify in the pole vault, so those were the four lopers that went to the indoor track. Now it's time for the outdoor track season. Here's one for you, Randy, because I know we got John Miller, Southern Valley basketball coach, here momentarily joining us on the show. I chuckle every once in a while when we get an email like this, but the Big Ten, and then, of course, they send us the email, then the same email comes from the university. Nebraska fans, Nebraska men's basketball fans, there are still standing room tickets available for the Big Ten Championships in Chicago. Uh-oh!
Hey, they're only four wins away from the NCAA tournament.
Well, Liberty got in. They're 15-20.
Yeah, Liberty didn't have to wank their way past Ohio State and Purdue in the first two rounds. Not in that order, by the way. But, yeah, a little bit different animal in terms of doing that.
Nebraska does get Purdue in the first round of the NCAA, of the Big Ten tournament, and it'll be on ESPN2. So, and then if they win that, they do get Ohio State in the second round. Let's be truthful, Randy. Nebraska had a better season than I thought they would, and that doesn't mean it was great from a wins and loss standpoint. But they are the 10th seed in the conference tournament, which isn't anything outstanding. But they end up better than Penn State and Northwestern, and Penn State took Wisconsin to the wire, and Northwestern took Michigan State to the wire, and Nebraska had its share of wins this year, so they played 5:30 coming up on Thursday. And their overall record, I think, is a little bit better. The one thing I guess you look at, a couple of wins might get them into the NIT. I don't know. They'd have to beat Ohio State, but anything that this program could do to pick up multiple wins or multiple games, I know that Tim Miles would be in favor of.
Yeah, no question about that. And I agree. The program is heading in the right direction. Record's not very good, but if you keep getting better every year, pretty soon you're going to be where you want to be. And you mentioned this earlier about Liberty, and that does bring us to our poll question of the day. Does a team with a losing record deserve to make the NCAA tournament if it wins its conference championship? And the question, obviously, is Liberty, 15-20. You win your conference title, even if you have a losing record. Do you deserve to be in the NCAA tournament? What do you think?
Answer is yes. Why? Because if it didn't, if you don't get a shot, what are you playing the rest of your season for? I mean, Liberty is 12-20. Why would they even want to play in the conference tournament? What's the point? I mean, you got something to play for. I mean, this is talked about this has been brought up on our show here. Why don't we just take the top 16 teams in the wild card points in high school and start the playoffs there? Well, why? Because in January, some teams would be eliminated. There'd be nothing to play for. That's why. Everybody deserves a chance. Listen, you don't know if this team was injured, sick, had a bunch of ineligible kids the first half of the season. I don't think that was the case for Liberty. But that has happened to schools out there. And if you beat everybody else in your conference, you deserve to go. And what's the difference? I mean, there's going to be a whole bunch of teams that people don't think should be in the tournament, and one of those teams is going to win a game. It probably won't be Liberty, and they'll probably end up in that play-in game on Tuesday night. But at least they're there, and good for them. Great for them.
Well, I absolutely agree, and kind of adding on to what you said, I agree with everything you said, but to kind of add on to it, what it does is it makes everybody really eligible for the NCAA basketball tournament. Your Nebraskas, your Penn States, your Northwesterns, you can develop a dream. And by the way, one of the most famous games of all time, the 83 National Championship, North Carolina State had to get in by winning their conference title to even make the NCAA tournament. People kind of forget that. That's how much of a long shot they were. Had they lost the conference championship game, they probably would not have gotten a bid. I mean, you don't really know for sure, but they were right around the 500 mark for much of the year. So, yeah, I agree. Gives everybody a chance, and it makes it so it is everybody's national tournament. By the way, the other poll question we had for you on Friday, Rex Burkhead ran a 4.5 40-yard dash at Nebraska's Pro Day. After that, what round will he be drafted in? And the most popular vote with 71% is third round. Fourth round was 14%, and then second or fifth round or later each were at about 7%. So most people think he'll be about a third round draft pick, and to me that sounds just about right as well. So your favorite moment from the Boise State basketball tournament, Doug, what's one moment or whatever that really kind of strikes you as being kind of a cool little thing?
Well, it was great to see Riley Reinertsen have given do what he did, what he's been doing, and he was able to do that in Lincoln. And Kimball played so much better on Thursday than Friday. That's another debate that maybe we get into before the end of the show, because we'll talk about that with Coach Miller here. You know, they played so much better Friday and Saturday than they probably did on Thursday. But the final 90 seconds of the third quarter in the Wahoo Boone Central game, where things had kind of got maybe a little stagnant. Boone had only scored 3 points in the third quarter. Then they drain 8 points in a row, a couple of threes. There's some excitement in the building. And then Wahoo hits the half quarter at the third quarter buzzer to make it 35-34 and send us into the fourth quarter. It really re-energized the Devaney Center after we saw three very good games. I mean, two good games in Omaha Central in the first session, and that was the 4:30 game. That's sticking out to me among others, but that 90 seconds between Wahoo and Boone Central at the end of the third quarter was something else. And I'm sure for Southern Valley, when I think it was Reed Stone took the three-pointer at the end of regulation that hit off the rim, I want to know what they were thinking when that ball was in the air.
Well, we're going to have the opportunity to ask that because Coach Miller, kind enough to join us now. And John Miller, congratulations on Southern Valley picking up a historic win. First state championship for Southern Valley in basketball. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Okay, that's a grueling grind over the weekend. So real proud of our kids and real happy for our communities and our school and our fans.
And what does it mean for a community?
Ball was in the air on the final play of the fourth quarter.
Pardon me?
What were you thinking? Sutton had the last shot of regulation that bounced off the back of the rim. What was going through your mind?
Well, you know, last year we were in the RPAC championship, and we had a one-point lead and got beat on a last-second shot, and then in some districts, we were tied with St. Pat's and got beat on a last-second shot right at the buzzer. And so when I saw that one leave his hand, I just kind of wondering what was going to happen, I guess. But when I saw it bounce off, I was pretty pleased.
Pretty good moment of relief there. Talk a little bit about Spencer Kuchera. I mean, a lot is made of the fact that at one point he scored 19 of your team's 29 points in regulation. I think there was only like three or four field goals all night that he either didn't score or have the assist on. Talk a little bit about his play on Saturday and throughout the rest of your stay in Lincoln.
Well, you know, defense is a game changer on both sides of the floor. We weren't real sure. Weren't real sure how Sutton was going to defend him. And I tell you, it took a lot of unselfishness for our kids. You know, we went in the game plan that that's where we wanted the ball to go. And if
Coach, you still there? I think we might be having some technical difficulties. We lost Coach Miller, and we'll effort getting him back. We also lost Doug as well, and so we'll get Coach Miller back on here. Spencer Kuchera finished 9 of 20 shooting in the game, so a little bit less than 50%, and as we mentioned, he was just outstanding in terms of the ball coming into him. He had 12 of the 13 Southern Valley buckets in the game. He either scored or had the assist on, and so obviously that strategy, and we'll talk with Coach about that here in just a little bit, in terms of him being able to kind of run that inside-out game, and we'll talk with John Miller here for Southern Valley as we get him back on the phone. And again, it took a defensive play late in the game to get that steal and the layup on the other end. That's one of the few buckets that Southern Valley scored that Kuchera did not have a direct hand in, and obviously we'll talk with Coach Miller here in just a few moments about the defense in this. I mean, it was a grinder in terms of putting together some defensive numbers. The final score of it was 38-34, Southern Valley in four and a half periods, because you played the four quarters, and then half of a quarter is the overtime period. So there was 36 minutes of basketball, and 38 points was the winning margin in this one, 38-34. And so defense, obviously, very, very key in the state championship efforts here for Southern Valley, who ends their season 24-3 with the state title. Sutton 27-2, and you know, everybody was kind of talking about Sutton being the favorite to win in Class C2, and Southern Valley is the one that actually comes away with the title. And apparently, we're having some difficulties with Coach Miller in terms of getting him back on the air. So, tell you what, we'll work on that. And I'll tell you something that never breaks down. Ever is T&L Irrigation. Farmers, now is the time to beat the heat with the best value purchase of a T&L pivot system. Maximize your production in dry conditions with the best water distribution covering your crops and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Again, reliability is what they're all about at T&L. Find your T&L dealer today or check them out at www.tlirr.com and get T&L's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll try to bash the phones a little bit, get these guys back on. We'll try to get both Doug and Coach Miller from Southern Valley when we continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
When it comes to Sunday, after I do all my honey-dos, of course, I had the Cunningham's Journal. Why, thinks I go to my buddy's house, but sometimes whatever you don't know won't hurt. Cunningham's is the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Wi-Fi internet to keep updated on all your fantasy players, juicy burgers, and the coldest draft here in town. Anyways, I was face deep in my Juicy Lucy until my wife walks into the door. Guess the truth does hurt. Escape ordinary at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
No more luxury boxes or season tickets for clients. Your accountant said you're about to meet some costly new taxes, but that doesn't mean you have to downsize. Thousands of smart business owners have found a great way to protect the bottom line. They've moved to a nearby, prestigious Regis office. Fully furnished, wired Regis office can be ready when you need it. It includes a receptionist, access to meeting rooms, state-of-the-art video conferencing, all with no long-term lease. Mention Cowherd when you call and get 2 months free. Call 1-800-OFFICES, 1-800-OFFICES.
Your engine cylinder head must babysit a mob of angry pumping cylinders. And though getting punched in the face a million times a day, it does not complain. It's not the whiny sort. But after 75,000 miles, you need to switch to Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil with conditioners that help rejuvenate aging seals to prevent engine failure. But you won't see that in a grumpy status update. That's just not how a cylinder head rolls. After 75,000 miles, switch to Valvoline Max Life in the red bottle, because there's a lot of car left in your...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today with some increasing cloudiness later today towards the afternoon with a high of 40, northwest winds stay at 10 to 15. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 25. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley. Right now it's 28.
The Doug and Daddy Show. It's Monday on so many different levels. On so many different levels. Today is definitely a Monday. Hey, it was a pretty good weekend, though, for the Danger as they relied on a big offensive effort, a defensive effort to knock off Sioux Falls, and then they turned on the gears of their offense on Saturday. They scored on their first 11 possessions and go on to score 73 points, 73 to 50 win that gives them the early lead in their conference. Nebraska and Cedar Rapids are now the only undefeated teams left in the IFL after week four, and we've got somebody back on the line. I assume it's Coach Miller?
It's our boy Doug.
Hey, all right. Doug, welcome back. We got you. We fed the mice, the hamsters in the wheel. They're running again now, so I think our phones are working again.
I thought the weather was good there. I didn't have to worry about this.
Hey, who knows? Maybe it's somewhere in the phone line around the Aurora, York area where the storm really hit that something went down. But good to hear from you back. And by the way, the aptly named Colorado Ice were chilled by the Danger on Saturday night, 73 to 50. They score a lot of points in indoor football.
Yeah, and this is great to see the Danger off to a good start here because they're at home. They needed to win these home games, get off to that good start, so that we can be talking playoffs, winning teams midway through the season, and it's only their third year. I mean, the first 2 years we weren't able to talk that way, but I know they were fired up, and when we talked to Coach Davis, they were fired up about the season and off to a good 2-0 start, plus the win in the preseason exhibition game against Lincoln. So they're off to a great start.
And well, you kind of mentioned it, building the program. You know, a third year, it takes a little time to build the program. We kind of were talking about Nebraska basketball earlier. I think Nebraska basketball, it kind of the program was down. It's going to take a few years to build the program. It just takes a little while for all that stuff to happen. I mean, again, we apologize to Coach Miller for kind of losing him, but it took a few years to kind of build up where they were as well. You just keep getting better and better and better, and if you keep making steps forward, you end up being right where you want to be. And again, we could talk about that with UNK wrestling as well. They've built that program and have been able to maintain that by coming away with back-to-back national titles. But it takes time, and sometimes one of the hardest things you have to do is try to find a way to stay on top.
You know, and so you can always make an improvement when you don't win very much and then you win the next year. It's a whole lot harder to kind of stay on top. But you, as long as you keep getting better every year, you're going to get that program where you want it to be.
Well, it'll be exciting, and maybe we can get Coach Miller back with us. I know his schedule's pretty busy as well, but, yeah, we had some phone difficulties there. Spencer Kutera, as I said, was one of those kids, getting back to that, Randy, that a lot of people were asking about. I think his talent is just beginning. He is as raw a 6'8 kid, senior, as you're going to see around. And a lot of people are asking, where is he going? What's he going to do? Where is he going to play? Nobody really knows.
Doug again as still working on the phones, and again we apologize for that, but he's absolutely right. Spencer Kutera, 6'8", and again there is a lot of ability there, but yeah, and you can see it. I mean, his balance was good. He's got good hands. The things you can't coach, Spencer Kutera has, but he has a very raw game, and I think he can continue to get better and better and better. 6'8", actually, they have him listed at 6'9" in the program, and so certainly think that his best basketball may even be ahead of him. I mean, he's just such an unknown entity a little bit in terms of whether or not he's going to get a chance to play somewhere. You know, maybe he goes the JUCO route. Maybe he goes NAIA or even a Division II program, because you can do a lot of coaching, but you can't make somebody have good feet, good hands, and be 6'8", 6'9". And he has those tools, and obviously very heady, because there was only one field goal that Southern Valley scored in the game that he wasn't part of. In fact, he scored on I think it was like seven straight possessions. Taking a look at the scorebook, there was the seven straight scores for the Eagles. He was the one that did the scoring and kind of kept things going, involved in 19 of their 29 points in regulation, and then a couple of big plays for the guards in that overtime period, and that's why Southern Valley is able to come away with the win. But very raw, but a lot of ability there, and it'll be interesting to see what Kutera does down the road.
Well, Randy, you asked me about what you thought my favorite moment was of the tournament. What was yours?
You know, I think one of those things that you just kind of see things change. It wasn't really a favorite moment per se, but the one play that just kind of changed everything was in the Burwell-Kennesaw game that I was able to broadcast on the Breeze on Thursday night in Class D1. Half-court shot, just inside a half-court shot, the end of the third quarter, that gave Burwell that momentum. And it just changed the game on a dime. Kennesaw just got up by a dozen. The lead was cut down to nine. Now it's single digits. Now all that momentum. And then at the end of the game, and I've known Garrett Mann for a long time, he was really channeling his inner Jimmy Valvano. He was running around the court, just kind of chasing a couple of kids down because he wanted to give them a hug. And it just took him a little while to find them. And just that pure elation at the end of that game is probably the moment that kind of sticks with me more than anything else. And this is a team that didn't even get a play for a title because they lost in the next round to Howells Dodge. But there's just the raw emotion of the state basketball tournament, and that was a pretty good display about that as Coach Mann was running around. I know a lot of kids, of course, but you know a lot of coaches, and you have relationships with some of these coaches. It's kind of neat to see them have some success. So it had to be neat to kind of watch the Reinersons. Would have really kind of liked to see them in the Loop-Lite Conference do a little bit better. But that's what makes winning so valuable, is it's hard to do. It's tough to do.
Yeah, and again, we were talking about this Saturday. Very, very rarely at Omaha Central, you can say they were the team that did it. But you look at the other state champions, did they play their three best games in Lincoln? No. I mean, they just didn't. You got to find a way to win the game that was tough on you and then play good in the two other ones. And, you know, so it wasn't a good Thursday for our area teams. We talked about it on Friday's show. It wasn't like they played bad. They were all pretty much close competitive games. I mean, look how close Aurora was against Scotts Bluff. They were all, you know, Scotts Bluff was up double digits in the second half of the state championship game, and Aurora had them down double digits at halftime. So there's a couple of those teams I know that if they could have found a way to get that extra bucket on Thursday, might have been playing for a state championship on Saturday. But now that's in the books, and we focus on the NCAA tournament. I feel bad that how this will be the longest a number one team has ever had to wait to play I'm guessing, in the NCAA tournament. We're used to seeing one of the power conferences play their championship game on Sunday, and then they're playing in the tournament on Thursday or Friday. Well, Gonzaga plays for their conference championship tonight, and they will be off until at least next Thursday or Friday.
There's good and there's bad with that. Obviously, you lose a little bit of that momentum. If you win your conference championship, you take that momentum into the NCAAs. But, you know, having a little practice time this time of year isn't all bad. So it will be kind of interesting. It's interesting anyway because I'm trying to think of the last time a non-BCS conference team was the number one seed. And I'm trying to think of who that would be because Butler wasn't. You know, I'm trying to think of who was kind of comparable to Gonzaga. It's been a few years since we've kind of had a system like this. Memphis doesn't really count because they're in such a strong basketball conference. The answer is St. Joseph.
Yeah, St. Joe. That would be the answer. No doubt about it. They were. I don't think they were undefeated going into the NCAA tournament, but they were a 30-win program. And, of course, they'll be the last one to come from a non-BCS conference to win it all. Gonzaga, Indiana, Duke, Louisville this morning are Joe Lenardi's four number one seeds. He's got Creighton as a number eight. If it all broke down, they'd be in a cool bracket. They'd play Oregon in the first round and Gonzaga in the second round. That'd be okay.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to play Gonzaga. Even though they're going to be the number one overall seed, I think a lot of people have them underrated because people don't see them. They play 11 o'clock on the East Coast, you know, when they play most of their games, is really, really late. So a lot of people just don't get too many opportunities to watch Gonzaga. But they're solid. They're deep. They can do a lot. They can beat you a lot of different ways.
Then you got the Nebraska women. They're going to have to wait that long as well. They've got another week to wait before they find out who they even play.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting that kind of rolls around at the same time. It seems like the women's programs usually have a little bit more of a gap, you know, because they play the same time the men do, but it always seems like conference tournaments, usually the women are 2 or 3 days ahead of the men. They usually have a little bit more of a gap in there. But some of those teams might even play with that play-in game. You might be playing in some of those minor conferences on Saturday or even Sunday. There's only one or two conferences besides the Big Ten that plays on Sunday. But you might play Saturday or Sunday and then be right back at it on Tuesday. So they won't have much of a gap at all in those play-in games.
What else we got going on in the world of sports, Randall, that you want to touch on today?
Well, you know, the Storm had a kind of a split weekend. 6-3 was their final score of both their games. They won one, they lost one. They won six straight over Omaha, and it's been a little bit of a tough year so far for the Tri-City Storm. But if you can beat one of your arch rivals six times in a row, that does put a little salve on that season a little bit. They got a lot of work to do, and a lot of things are going to have to go right for them to have any chance of making it into the postseason. But as long as you know. Your favorite team is probably the Tri-City Storm. Your second favorite team is whoever's playing either Omaha or Lincoln, if you're a hockey fan around here. So it's nice that they can kind of have a nice little run against their arch rivals. And I need some time to do this, but there's a few things about the state tournament I want to vent about. But I think we're going to do that after we take a quick break. I'm going to calm myself down, and then I'll vent. And then Doug will probably vent a little bit too. We'll do that as we continue with the Doug and Daddy Show right after this break.
At Complete Nutrition, we know there are hundreds of reasons why people just like you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to keep up with your toddler or run a 10K race. Maybe it's swimsuit season or a 25th wedding anniversary. For these reasons and many more, there's ReFirm, the brand new weight loss program only available at Complete Nutrition. It boosts metabolism, targets stubborn fat, and controls appetite. ReFirm won't just help you lose the weight fast, it will help you keep it off for good. Stop into Complete Nutrition today and tell us your reason for ReFirm. ReFirm, for a reason.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Boardman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Get ReFirm results today.
Only at Complete Nutrition.
Hey, Golic, I got a little surprise for you.
Yeah, Greeny, what is it?
I put this little refrigerator under our desk, and I filled it with new Kickstart by Mountain Dew.
Nice.
Now you can grab a delicious new Kickstart anytime you need one.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
It'll help make sure you bring your A game, you know, during the show.
I always
bring my A game.
Right, right. I'm just saying kickstart will lift you, you know, above your B game.
I don't even have like a B game.
No, don't be so sensitive.
I'm not sensitive.
Kickstart tastes delicious. It's got real fruit juice and just the right amount of kick to start your day. Comes in two great flavors, orange citrus and fruit punch. So kickstart is the perfect way to make sure you're not dragging down our radio show every morning.
Dragging down? What are you talking about?
Listen, I'm just trying to help.
Well, what about you? Maybe you should have a delicious new kickstart by Mountain Dew so you bring your A game.
Don't be silly. I always bring my A game.
Okay, this conversation is officially over.
No, but listen, I'm just...
Give me a kickstart.
Now go like you're being...
And stay on your side of the refrigerator.
Crack open a can of new Kickstart by Mountain Dew. The perfect mix of dew, real fruit juice, and just the right amount of kick. Kickstart your...
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month. From gourmet burgers and eight flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you, we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Sunshine develops across the area today with some increasing cloudiness later today towards the afternoon with a high of 40, northwest winds today at 10 to 15. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 25. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley. Right now it's 28.
Doug and Dan, show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to be back with you as we wrap up this Monday. Snowed in the capital city. Things are opening up. We'll be back home in no time. And Randy there in studio. Should I be concerned about the Nebraska baseball team yet, Randy? 1-2 against Louisiana Tech. Should I be concerned?
I don't think we're looking at the CWS for the Huskers, no. And fortunately for them, they're playing a fairly bad baseball conference. But it's going to take a little time to build that program back up, I guess, because they're not there yet.
And this was the start of a 12-game road trip. They're not back home, and because of this weather, that's a good thing. They're not back home until the end of the month against Northwestern. So they stay on the road, and their next nine now.
Yeah, it takes the spring sports schedule is so crazy anyway. You just really can't plan on it. You make plans and do the best you can, but, yeah, you'll have a lot of teams in the Midwest to go 2-3 weeks between games at home anyway.
Well, this is what we do on sports radio. We complain and we praise, but the winter sports season is over, and I know you have a couple of observations.
Are they charged rent for the use of lights at the Vanney Center at the state basketball tournament? I mean, why is it we have to clear the scoreboard 3 seconds at the end of the game? Or we have to put the fouls, the kid that commits a foul, the number that commits the foul, we can only have it up for 3 seconds. Why is that? Why it was almost impossible to figure out who committed a foul as a fan. Most of the games I went as a fan. So I'm not talking about that disgruntled radio guy. I'm talking about a fan. Well, who's the foul on? When they drive in the lane, there was a couple of different guys there. Who's the foul on? If you didn't see them do the hand gestures, if you're on the end of the court where the referee's back is to you, you're not going to know, or you got to stare at the clock for the 3 seconds that it's going to be up there. I mean, are they charged extra rent? Why don't you keep that foul up there until the next foul is committed? You know, is there a fee? Is there a fee? Are they charged something for that? I don't understand.
I've ran across that a couple of times. There's no doubt about it, and I believe these are probably the same people that run the clocks, or especially at the high schools, they run those clocks during their home games, whether it's North Star, Southeast, Lincoln High. They usually bring in the same people that run their home clock for their home games, so you would think that they've been doing it for a long, long time.
And I can say this about them in Lincoln, because we won't offend anybody in our listening area, but at least they didn't do this at the state tournament. But my other great pet peeve when it comes to this is people that put the clock up there, and they start the clock to tell me how much time is left in the timeout. Do you think a coach is looking at that going, oh, I got to hurry up here. There's only 19 seconds left in my timeout. They're not looking at that. They're talking to their kids. They're listening for a horn. So they don't. You don't have to. No one uses that. Does anybody sit there and think to themselves, geez, I wonder how much time's left in the timeout? They call timeout late in the game. You're wanting to know whether or not there's 1.8 or 1.9 seconds left in the game. You're not worried about how much time's left in the timeout. Stop it already. Don't do that. Great. You know how to make the clock work like that. That's a neat trick. We're impressed. Now quit it.
Well, as we talked about when Mike Will and I did the show Friday, the only thing that I still can't figure out is after 30 years how Pershing still can't get the music on for the dance. No. It boggles my mind. They have shows there. They have audio there. How can they not get that figured out after 30 years? Guys like us at our age would cramp up if we had to stand in those positions as long as those girls do waiting for the music to start.
Yeah, it just takes a
minute. Well, it was just different for me this year. I remember last year we were just jam-packed with number of games and fortunate with number of teams winning Thursday and Friday and then, of course, doing all the championship games on Saturday. But I got to see more games as a fan, I guess is the way you would say, a non-broadcaster than I had the last few years. It was the first time in maybe the whole time I've been in Kearney that we didn't have a boys semifinal on Friday that I broadcast. Sutton was the only team that made it through that we covered. And, of course, Southern Valley went on to win a state championship. And it just depends on what you consider our coverage area as far as it is. But, you know, some good basketball teams. And it was different watching the tournament. And I'll be interested to see, we kind of went through where will the games be played. I talked to Stu Pospisil a couple of times and, you know, Stu from the Lincoln Journal Star and Riley Jane Hamilton from Omaha and Lincoln, they go to a lot of these NSAA meetings and try to have some input. And it's going to be interesting to see. Stu said that they have sent out questionnaires to all coaches wanting to know their opinion on what to do with the state tournament because there is some serious consideration of going to 4 days and eliminating all the high schools and using Pinnacle Bank, Bob Devaney, and for now, Pershing Auditorium. Again, I think Pershing's in the mix for quite some time to come.
Which surprises me. It was the cat's meow back in the 40s when it was built, whenever it was built. I mean, it was the cat's meow, and it still is a good venue for a lot of events. But, again, if you could have them at the Devaney Center and at Pinnacle, that is good. That's top-notch. Those are as good of a sports arena as you're going to run into. When the Bob Devaney Sports Center is the second-best arena the state basketball tournament is going to play in, you're in pretty darn good shape. The biggest problem with Pershing is it's not so bad. Like Bob Jensen told me when we had a conversation about this, Pershing's not so bad on the inside. It's getting the parking on the outside is the major headache, especially on a Thursday afternoon when everybody's working or a Thursday morning trying to find a place to park there for some of those schools. It's very, very difficult, and that'll be a headache that I kind of wish that we could get our way around, not have anymore.
And as we talked, if you take Pershing out, Randy, seriously, could not fit opening day in a high school. I mean, even Lincoln Southeast could not hold the C1 quarterfinals for the boys' state tournament. It would be too full.
Yeah,
I mean,
agreed.
And you've got to be able to let the fans come in and watch.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to shut the door. You never want to lock the door because it's too full for any tournament. You know, sometimes it happens in conference tournaments, or at least it did over the years. You certainly don't want to run into that at the state basketball tournament. Absolutely not. Yeah. So it would be great if they had a 4-day tournament as a fan, because I've gone every year since, well, the basketball had laces on it, to go watch the state basketball tournament, and it'd just be awesome. If you spread that out, I'd be able to watch more games, because 18 games that I watched this week was not enough.
You're crazy, and I love the ice cream. Tomorrow, Tony Harper joins us on the show. Hastings College football getting things underway with their spring practice. We talked to Coach Daryl Morris last week. But, again, I know you have the same sentiments, Randy, and from all of us here at our Platte River radio stations, whether it's the coaches or the athletic directors, anybody that we've worked with over this sports season, big thanks. Can't pull these games off without some help from the schools, from just setting us up a table and chair if that's what's required. And a couple of times there's more that's required than that. But whatever the sport, just want to say thanks to them again. And now it's track season, soccer season. Some of these kids have been waiting a month or been practicing a month to get ready for spring sports. And it all gets started with some indoor meets. UNK's indoor high school meet this weekend. And we'll be rolling and just a couple of months away from state track meet and state soccer. So the spring sports season moves quicker than any of the others.
It's awfully quick. And Thursday, we'll be outside watching some soccer, so kind of looking forward to that. And right now, we'd also like to thank all of our listeners joining the show just now who forgot to set their clocks forward. Just a little reminder, you might want to do that. So if you're just joining us now, you may want to do that and change the batteries in your smoke detectors as well. Doug, glad you're still safe and sound, and make it safely back here to Central Nebraska, will you?
Well, I hope everybody got the roads cleared. I'm on my way, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Well, be aware. Be very aware. Doug's on his way back, and the traffic hopefully will clear up a little bit. We'd like to apologize, first of all, for our technical snafus that we had, but want to say thanks to Coach Miller from Southern Valley. Want to say thanks to him for joining us for our interview. Congratulations to Southern Valley coming away with their state championship. And obviously, we'd like to congratulate the UNK wrestling team as well, who came away with their second straight national championship, and the coaching staff that was able to join us and talk to us from, I think they were in Minnesota, weren't they?
Yeah, they were in Minneapolis. They got stranded. Their flight got from Birmingham to Minneapolis.
There you go. Well, congratulations to the Lopers. Congratulations to Southern Valley. And want to say thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.